We're going to go back to Ephesians 4. I know we covered verse 1 through 16 last week, but I want to recover some of the verses. And this is actually something we went through for those who went to, anyone went to Belong Retreat. This is something we're retreading together again, but I felt like it would be good for our entire community to go through it together. So why don't we open up to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. This is what the Word of God says. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I've had the privilege of being a children's pastor for a number of years and also pastoring adults like you. And one of the biggest differences that I see is when we ask that very question, what is one of your greatest gifts? Or what is one of your greatest strengths? What I found is that kids already know what they're good at or what they think they're good at. A lot of times kids are a little overconfident. Like, what's your greatest gift? I'm really good at Mario Kart. I'm the best at Minecraft, man. I'm good at this. I'm good. They know what they're good at, what they're strengthened in. But when I ask adults, usually, not you guys, because you guys are like, you guys know who you are. You're confident in who God's created you to be. But usually, when I talk to adults, they're like, I don't really know. I don't know what I like. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what my strengths are. I don't know what my gifts are. And that's tragic. Something happens as we grow up where we lose touch with the beautiful things God created within us, and we lose confidence almost in who God's created us to be. And this is exactly what Paul addresses here in today's passage. Last week, we talked about how we cannot be spiritually mature alone, that there is no such thing as a mature Christian. There's only a mature church. That apart from the body of Christ, we will remain immature without covenant community. And it's through the body that we mature and grow. And so this week, I want to continue talking about how this unfolds in a local church community like ours, specifically through the gifts God establishes within each one of us. And so today's passage contains what's commonly known as the fivefold gifts or the fivefold ministry. Now, what I find is when we read apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, most of us already think, oh, we check out because this only applies to those who work full-time ministry or those who work in the church. This has nothing really to do with me. But we find that the word for ministry in the New Testament is this word diakonia, which literally translates to service. Diakonia or ministry is simply service to God and service to others. So listen, I hate to break it to you, but if you serve God in any way, if you serve your brothers or sisters, if you serve anyone, you are a full-time minister. Welcome to the ministry, y'all. It's great. We don't get paid much, but it's fun. Congratulations. Ministry is the birthright of the entire body of Christ, which includes all of God's people. Let me say that again. Ministry is the birthright of the entire body of Christ, which includes all of God's people. It's not just something that's limited to those who work for the church or those who went to seminary or those who preach every Sunday. When you submit whatever you do as service unto the Lord, that's your ministry to God. And when you serve others, when you serve your community, when you serve your neighborhood, when you serve your church, when you serve your brothers and sisters, when you serve your family, that's your ministry to others. And so every believer, in a sense, is called to full-time ministry. It may just not be in the church. For many of you, your ministry actually begins the moment you step foot outside of this church. You might be called to be a full-time minister at Google or at Equinox, or in your family, or at Boba Guys. In fact, for many of you, working for the church would actually pull you away from your destiny because your destiny is in the marketplace. For some reason, we tend to see the calling of pastors and missionaries and worship leaders as more sacred and holy than the calling of baristas or coders or artists, when all of it is equally sacred and holy to God. Listen, your ministry at work, your ministry at home, whatever God has called you to do is just as important as my ministry as a pastor at this church. We are all full-time ministers of the gospel. And so these fivefold gifts, they're not just for those who work full-time in the church. They're important for every believer. And our hope in exploring the fivefold gifts today is that it would help you understand the expression of your personal ministry to God, to the local church, to your work, to your household, to your community, and to the world. And knowing which of these fivefold gifts you lean towards or you have a grace for will help you understand what strengths and what motivations and what expression of Jesus' heart you bring to the church and to the world. So y'all ready for that? Sounds fun, right? Now, before we begin, I just want to make a distinction between function and title. Let me ask you this. Do you have to be a baker with a bakery in order to bake things? Do you have to be a mechanic in order to repair your car? Do you have to be a writer in order to write an email or send a text? In the same way, you don't have to be a prophet to operate in the prophetic. You don't have to be a pastor to shepherd people. You don't have to be a teacher by title to help teach people. When we're talking about the fivefold gifts today, we're talking about the function of each gift, not the title. So listen, do not go changing your Instagram handle to Pastor Evangelist Steph Kang or Apostolic Prophet Isaiah Lopez after this. We're talking about the function of each gift, not necessarily the title. Now, a helpful way to look at the fivefold ministry is by seeing all of these gifts as an extension of the ministry that Jesus began on earth. So let me put it this way. Jesus was the perfect expression of the fivefold. Jesus was the perfect expression of apostle sent by the Father to fulfill his mission and birth the movement of the church. Jesus was the perfect expression of prophet revealed as the word of God and calling people to repentance and to a new reality of the kingdom. Jesus was the perfect expression of evangelist offering good news to every person, community, and an invitation to new life. Jesus was the perfect expression of shepherd, welcoming all the family of God and leading, protecting, and caring for them as his own flock. And Jesus was the perfect expression of teacher, teaching humanity a new way of living, sharing the true knowledge of God, and unpacking the mystery of who he is. And so when we're talking about the fivefold ministry, we're talking about continuing the ministry that Jesus began when he came here on earth. And so through apostleship, through shepherding, through evangelism, through teaching, through the prophetic, we continue Jesus' ministry on the earth. Now, why are the fivefold gifts so important? If we look back to our text today, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up or equipped until we all reach unity in the faith. Now, the word for equip or built up is this word katartizo. And this word has more than just those two translations. It means more than just to build something up or just to equip. The word katartizo can also mean to mend what is broken, to perfectly join together, to put in order, to adjust, to strengthen, to perfect or complete, to make one what one ought to be, meaning when we're able to tap into the fivefold gifts, the church is mended. The church is perfectly joined together. The church is strengthened and built up. The church is perfected. The church becomes what it was always meant to be. Now the text continues, and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If we want to see the church become mature in its fullness, if we want to see the church reach the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, we have to take these fivefold gifts seriously. But here's the problem. At least here in the Western church, here in the United States, there's a great imbalance. Churches in the West typically favor or emphasize two of these fivefold functions of Jesus. Can you guess which two? Just shout it out. Okay, you guys don't have any guess. It's fine. The two that are most prominent, that are over-highlighted here in America, here in the West, are shepherding and teaching. Think about it. Any church you walk into, welcome home. You belong here. How can we take care of you? The shepherding function. And any church you go to, new teaching series. Yo, we just went into another new teaching series. Here's more information. Here's the translation in the Greek, in the Hebrew, in the NIV, ESV, NKJV. Every translation imaginable, the MCU, whatever it might be, right? We love teaching and shepherding, but the other gifts usually fall by the wayside. And there's this imbalance in the body of Christ. And as a result, we halt our maturity. We cease to experience the fullness of Christ. Like, imagine if only 40% of your vital organs were functioning, our bodies would shut down, they would die. And the problem is this: imbalanced churches always end up attracting people who are like-minded, right? And so teaching-focused churches attract all the intellectuals. Prophetic-focused churches attract all the wild charismaniacs. Evangelistic-focused churches attract people who are all about outreach and giving and service. And we miss out on the fullness Jesus promised us as the body of Christ. Now, at Belong Retreat a few months ago, we actually went through this with our people. It's about 25, 30 of us. And we all took this assessment to see what the makeup of our group was, our church was. So that sample size, can you guess which of the fivefold gifts we were strongest in? Obviously, teaching. No. It was shepherd. 44% were shepherds. 20% were teachers. 16% prophets. 12% evangelists. And 8% apostles, which makes sense. Like, when people visit 99, they usually say that they love the sense of community and belonging that we've cultivated here, right? It's one of the functions that we're most dominant in, which is beautiful. But I wonder what other parts of God's heart and Jesus's ministry that we have yet to fully tap into. What other expressions of the fivefold can we be activated in order to grow and mature as a congregation? Alan Hirsch, who writes a book about this, he says this: the church always needs to experience itself as sent, the apostolic function, the prime agent to God's ongoing mission in the world. The church should always attend to God and his concerns, the prophetic, should always share the story and invite people into living relationship, the evangelist, should always maintain and develop healthy community, the shepherd, should always be rich in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, the teacher. All are needed in every time and in every place. We need balance and symmetry in the body to experience fullness. And the only way to do that is by helping people discover their ministry expression, and activating them in the church. So for the rest of our time today, this is kind of going to be like a personality assessment. We're going to go through each of these fivefold gifts and functions. And I want you to be thinking, even if you took the assessment at Belong Retreat, even if you have an idea of what you might lean towards, as we go through each of these, ask yourself, which am I personally drawn towards? Maybe it is the apostolic or the prophetic. And so as we're going through this, think about that. What is your heart making your heart come alive as you hear? And just hold on to that until the very end. So let's start with the apostle. Apostles extend the gospel. Right? The word apostle literally means one who is sent. They focus on extending the kingdom from one context to another, from the church to the world outside, to the marketplace, to entertainment, wherever it might be, and into places where it doesn't currently exist, often through missions and church planning or starting of businesses or movements or endeavors. Those with the apostolic function are always thinking about the future, thinking about how we can establish the church in new contexts, how we can develop new leaders. They see the big picture vision, and they move people to commit to it. They're the ones that speak, mobilize, and sustain movements. Those with the apostolic gift, they usually carry a pioneering spirit. They're adventurous, unafraid to take risks. They live to push innovation, extending faith into new ground. Some examples: we got church planters, missional leaders, entrepreneurs, organizational leaders, movement starters, networkers. I think of my friend Tim, who's pioneering an Asian American worship collective in SoCal called Homecoming, telling the stories of our culture through worship songs. I think of Vanessa and Dan, who are breaking new ground, trailblazing trailblazing, starting their own businesses and organizations. When we started 99, we were operating out of the apostolic function, birthing our vision into a new context, a church for the rebels and the runaways where none exist. Right? Churches with a strong apostolic focus, they're always breaking new ground, constantly innovating and pushing the bounds of creativity, always forging ahead into new territory. In these communities, spirituality tends to be something dynamic, something adventurous, something exciting, because something new is always on the horizon. I was under an apostolic leader for a number of years, and it was really, really fun. Like, the church was always dynamic. We're always innovating. I swear, every service, my pastor got on stage and said, "It's a new season," right? Every time we came together, there was something new. There was always something new on the horizon, new vision, new sermon series, new ministry campaigns. But after some time, I got burned out because there was always more to do, more to innovate, more to create. And we started asking another new thing. We just got a hold of the last new thing and we barely got a grasp of it. And now there's another new thing. Nevertheless, we need the functioning, those functioning in the apostolic, if we hope to see the gospel extend to every context in our world, in our cities, in our schools, in the entertainment industry, on Instagram, on TikTok. If we want to see the gospel extend the bounds outside of the church and into the world, we need those with the apostolic lean. The second is prophet. Prophets keep us close to the heart of God. Their primary focus is listening for God's voice. What is God doing? What is God saying? How is God feeling about this? How is God calling us to respond? They call people to attend to the voice of God, to respond in faithfulness and obedience. They challenge us and provoke us to turn away from the flesh and from sin and from the world. They question the status quo. They ask, why are things the way they are? Why are things the way they should be? They're agents of change and reform, calling people to repentance. Those with the prophetic function are the heart revealers of the church, revealing the heart of God for the community. They discern what God is saying and doing in each season, and they fuel passion in the hearts of the people to obey God. Outside the church, those with the prophetic function are usually champions of cultural change and social justice. You know, we forget that Dr. King wasn't just an activist. He was a preacher man who often preached prophetic sermons, prophesying kingdom realities into existence. Right? His dream wasn't just his dream, it was God's dream. Breaking down the barriers of racism, affirming the dignity of every human being, regardless of color or creed, that wasn't just his heart, it was the heart of God. He was a heart revealer of God's heart. He was prophetic. Some examples: worship leaders, artists, intercessors, activists, mystics. I think of Josh, who has a strong heart and passion to see the church activated and engaging in justice in our world. I think of my old pastor, Pastor Gina, who would regularly come up on stage and share what God was doing in our congregation at any given time, right? The prophetic is needed in the body of Christ. Now, this can be the loneliest of the fivefold gifts, because those with the prophetic expression are usually misunderstood. They're usually seen as intense or volatile or divisive. But sometimes we need that boost in our congregations. We need that in the body. And this is why in the New Testament, prophets were always put under significant accountability. Now, churches with a strong prophetic bias, they tend to have a strong culture of worship and prayer. These churches are also really drawn toward caring for the poor, the marginalized, and the outsider. And they're very bold in speaking out against injustice and truth to those in power. But when the prophetic is dominant, the community can become overcritical, demanding, moralistic, judgmental, and sometimes weird in charismatic circles in a bad way. I think of the phrase, "You're so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good." Right? I've been part of communities where we're so concerned about listening for the voice of God that we neglected the voice of the people. And we spent hours and hours worshiping and praying, but little did to connect with those that we were actually praying for. Right? Nevertheless, we need those functioning in the prophetic to keep us connected to the heart of God. The third, evangelists. Evangelists recruit. Recruiters out there, that's you guys, okay? Evangelists recruit. They're the ones who bring people home. who draw people to the beauty of God and lead people into an encounter with him. Now, while evangelism can look like, I know a lot of you thinking, it's all about leading people into salvation, and relationship with Christ, evangelism can actually be more. Evangelism can be attracting people to the beauty of God's stories, of the stories that we tell in our community, in our society. It could be showing people the beauty of God, even if God isn't explicitly mentioned. Now, those with the evangelistic function challenge believers to engage the wider mission of growing the church. We want to bring people home. We want people to catch the beauty of who God is. They're great social connectors, have a special gift for bringing people together. They're mediators between God and people, as well as mediators between people and people. Now, those with the evangelistic function are infectious communicators of the gospel message. They have an affinity for applying the gospel to people's unique experiences and circumstances. They have the gift of translating the gospel to the prevailing culture. Honestly, I think they're the TikTokers and the Instagrammers of our day and age. They're the ones who are able to translate this age-old gospel in the current context. They champion cultural relevance. They keep us connected to the outside world. And they're positive good news people maintaining a positive life-affirming vibe in the community. But they're also the storytellers of the community, drawing out the beauty of what God is doing among the people. Some examples: communicators, marketers, recruiters, motivators, designers, artists, storytellers, and writers. I think of my friend Shinook, who used to come to 99, who's now in New York, who always seem to be interacting with people who don't know Jesus or who are far from Jesus and bringing them closer home. She actually, I don't know how I feel about this now, but I thought it was hilarious. Whenever someone visits from out of town and asks if they could stay with her, she says, sure, as long as you come to church with me on Sunday. And so whenever people came in from out of town, never been to church before, they would come with Shinook so they could stay with her. I think of Daniel in our community, right? Daniel, who created that 3D life model of Bluey. I don't know if you saw on his Instagram, but he's a great designer. He tells stories through his design. And even if he doesn't mention Jesus or God, beauty always points back to its source. Beauty always leads us back to the creator. I think of great writers in our community like Ying and Pai. I think of my friend Benji, who's a filmmaker exposing the horrors of the porn industry. A church is strong on evangelism. They tend to be characterized by a heart for those who don't know Jesus, the misfits, the marginalized, the outsiders, the rebels, and the runaways. Can you guess which of the five I am? Right? Obviously this one. In these churches, spirituality is equated with the heart for the lost and inviting people into a journey with Jesus. But when the evangelistic is overdominant, the church can often feel shallow, right? Almost like a recruiting convention where it's primarily about getting people into the church, in the seats, by relying on trendy marketing, charismatic leaders, and flashy production, but go little into depth. I've been part of ministries where it's all about the mission, right? And there's no emphasis on community or fostering relational or spiritual depth. Even here at 99, we're really good at gathering the rebels and the runaways. But people often ask, now that we've gathered these rebels and runaways, what do we do with them? What now? How do we grow in discipleship and mature? Right? That can happen when it's overdominant. Nevertheless, we need those functioning in evangelism to bring the lost and far away home. Shepherd, which is supposedly what we're really good at. Shepherds nurture and protect. They're the caregivers of the community, helping meet the needs of the people. Those with the shepherding function know how to create and maintain healthy community, cultivating meaningful friendships and relationships, developing a loving and empathetic culture, a culture of family and belonging, a culture of healing. They're the ones who make sure there's harmony in the community, keeping the group together, intact, and healthy. They know how to promote the common good and encourage people in the faith. They're the ones like who know all the names and the stories of the people. They pay close attention to the environment, noticing details about how people are doing, how the state of the community is. In Korean culture, we have a word for it called nunchi, right? It's like the sixth sense. It's an ability to read the room and gauge how people are doing without them saying. Those with the shepherding heart are drawn to the vulnerable, marginalized, and unseen, and making sure they're seen, known, and cared for. Some examples: pastors, spiritual directors, counselors, therapists, community developers, social workers, human resource workers, community group leaders. Hey, I think of Steph, who's always checking in to make sure that people are good and taken care of. We actually have a nickname for her on our leadership team. She's called Pastor Steph. So not saying that's going to happen, but just saying. You know. I think of all the Enneagram type 2s in the house. Right? I think of Yuna, who's always inviting people over, cooking for them. I think of Pastor Krista. You know, one thing I really love that Krista does, she always marks her calendar when people share important dates or details about their lives, things that they're going through, things that are coming up, like anniversaries and birthdays, or when a loved one passed away, or a job interview they have. And she marks it on her calendar so that when that date comes, she could text them, let them know, hey, I'm praying for you. How did it go? How are you doing? So she has a bunch of marks on her calendar that just pop up on mine because we share it too. I'm like, why do I know all these things about these people that I don't know? Anyway, but she, that's the way she shepherds and loves the community. Churches that are strong in shepherding tend to do well at loving each other and caring for the needs of the body. It's strongly communal and relational. But when the shepherding function is overtly dominant, the community risk-averse, codependent, exclusive, and overprotective. They become so us-focused that they lose sight of the bigger picture, that the church is more than just a family. It's a family on mission. Nevertheless, we need those functioning as shepherds to care for and love the people. Now, the final one, teacher. Teachers understand and explain. They're the communicators of God's truth and wisdom. They help others remain biblically grounded and faithful to the word of God. They're the ones focused on helping people and experience, helping people see and experience the world through God's eyes. Now, those who function as teachers are usually excellent interpreters and explainers of Scripture. They focus on clarifying the truth of the kingdom. They're able to make the Word of God easier to understand and digest. They foster a learning culture, one of curiosity and love for insight. They long for theological truths and ideas to be translated into practical discipleship and formation. Their hearts are for the community ultimately to fall deeper and in love with God. Some examples: teachers, educators, theologians, philosophers, writers, thinkers, expository preachers, musicians. I think of Vanessa. Every time I hear her talk, she's able to break down the gospel in such a palatable, easy, and applicable way. Like, it just makes sense. Right? I think of Jerry, who has such a huge heart to learn more and dive deeper into Scripture with community. Now, churches with a strong teaching function tend to be well-informed, wise, patient, committed to discipleship. But when the function is overly dominant, the church can become an over-intellectual, objective, knowledge-based community where theology matters more than people, where right doctrine is seen to be more important than right doing. A people who know a lot about God but aren't able to live out what they know about him in their everyday lives. And this can make the church seem controlling, anxious, and even snobby. I've been part of communities where we learned a lot, studied the Bible, read books, listened to podcasts, but it rarely translated into a transformed life. We just knew a lot, but it didn't actually transform us. And there was kind of this air of snobbery that permeated the air, like, oh, we know so much more theologically than you or that church or that movement, and that we're so much more spiritually mature than others. But all of it was stuck in our heads and rarely made its way down into our hearts. Nevertheless, we need those functioning as teachers to keep us grounded in the truth and help us expand our imaginations of who God can be. So, going through all of these, maybe you have an understanding or even just a slight nudge for which function you might lean towards. The question is, what do we do with all this? And we're going to park here and end. First, if you haven't already, we challenge you to go on a journey of discovering which of the fivefold gifts you lean towards. And this isn't just for building up the church. I think this is relevant in your workplace, in your witness to your friends and your family. Remember, you can probably do and express all of these gifts, right? At times, I function in the apostolic. At times, I function in shepherding, even though my primary might be evangelism. But even though we can express all of these gifts, I tend to find that we tend to lean towards one or two more than the others. And figuring out which expression you lean toward can help you maximize your impact in any community or context that you find yourself in. And so what we've done, we've actually linked an assessment, if you're interested in taking it, to help you discover yourself what you lean towards. You could find it at this QR code or at the link 99.church/fivefold. And what they usually do is they usually pair your top two and give great details about how you function in every context. The assessment is actually $10, so we're not paying that for you, sorry. But I think it's well worth it. I think it's really insightful and good. But if you're balling on a budget like I am, we also included a free version at the link. So I actually took it the other night, and it was great as well. Not as good as the $10 version, but still great. And so we really encourage you to go on a journey. There's also a book that we linked by Alan Hirsch called 5Q, talking about this in more detail. Now, disclaimer, with any assessment, you know, they're not always going to get it right. It might not always be accurate. So we're asking you guys to study, pray, and meditate and figure out what feels right for you. I think what's even more helpful is going through teachings like this and sitting with people and talking about it to see which expression you're most drawn to. Now, second, I want you to ask yourself, in what ways can you express your gift in your local church, at your work, in your household, in the world? Right? Our new expression of community groups is the perfect context. I'm just plugging it shamelessly again, right? Our new expression of community groups is the perfect context where you can begin living this out. If you lean towards shepherding, maybe God's calling you to start a formational group focused on a particular demographic where you can care for and support each other in your unique season, whether it's moms or dads or business starters or people in tech or artists, whatever it might be. If you lean toward teaching, maybe you want to start a formational community groups committed to studying and really meditating on the Word of God or learning about a topic like fasting or prayer, going through a book together. If you lean toward evangelism, maybe you can start a recreational community group where you hone your storytelling skills through the medium of art or creativity. If you lean toward the prophetic, maybe you could start a missional community group where you volunteer to serve the underserved and overlooked and unseen in our city. If you lean toward the apostolic, maybe you can start a recreational community group focused on businesses and endeavors that you're looking to start to expand the gospel into new territory. Eugene Peterson, he once said, each gift is an invitation and provides the means to participate in the work of Jesus. What does he mean? There's a twofold expression of these gifts. Number one, it's about expressing our gifts, being activated in it, activated as a shepherd, activated as an evangelist, activated as a shepherd. But the second fold is learning to equip others to do what you're gifted in. And so when I'm gifted in evangelism, I want to activate the body to be able to activate that gift in them as well. I think a great example of this is when people are really passionate about something in our community, they bring it to the table and invite people to participate in it. When we're activated in our gifts, when we invite others to participate in those gifts with us, then we become full and mature. And this is why the body is so important. This is where I want to land. Why don't we close our eyes as we pray? I don't know where you are with this. I don't know if any of this resonated with you or, you know, if any of these five resonated with you in particular. But this is why the body is so important. This is how we experience fullness. This is not about, you know, now that I know I lean prophetically, I don't need to worry about pursuing justice or caring for the marginalized. It's not now that I lean toward the teaching function, I don't need to concern myself with community groups or building relationships. No, it's about fullness and maturity. That when we bring these gifts to the table, we bring it to the house, it's an invitation for others to participate in the gifts that they don't naturally lean towards. I shared this at retreat, but when Krista and I first started 99, we got this prophetic word spoken over us by one of our mentors, Pastor Brian. He looked at us and said, Mickey, you're the home. Krista, you're the hearth. He has no hearth. It's like a fireplace. I didn't know what that was. I learned what that word was that day. Anyway, he said, Mickey, you're the home. Krista, you're the hearth. Mickey, you're really good at drawing people to the house, right? You get the word out there that there's a party going on at the house. This is so much fun. You want people want to be there, and you draw people into the house. But Krista, you're the hearth. You're the fireplace that gets people to stay, where people feel comfortable and warm enough to stick around. And I thought this was such a beautiful picture of how the fivefold can come together, right? The evangelistic function. drawing people into the beauty and the life-giving properties of who God is. And the hearth, the pastoral, the shepherding heart, caring for the needs of the people, making them feel seen and known, drawing them into loving relationship. In what other ways can we bring what we are drawn towards to the table so that we can build a more fully mature church? 99 is incomplete without you. We're imbalanced, asymmetrical without you. We can't reach maturity without you. We can't experience the fullness of Christ without you. What would it look like if 99 were activated in each of these expressions of Jesus' ministry? I think we'd experience a new measure of fullness. I think we'd experience a new level of maturity. And so right now, God, I pray that you'd bring clarity to hearts for those who have yet to discover where they lean. Give them clarity right now. Not just for building up 99 or the church, but even in their own context, in their families, in their workplaces. Would you give them clarity about how you've designed them or who you created them to be? But second, give us the courage to step forward and not just express our gifts, but use our gifts to equip others and invite others into the gifts that we express. Help us find the boldness to create spaces where people can be activated as shepherds. Give us courage to create spaces where people can be activated as teachers, as evangelists, as apostles, as prophets. Give us the courage to do that. So God, we thank you for this space. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the body. I thank you for the beautiful, rich, diverse body. We love you. We honor you. We give you the highest praise. And in Jesus' name we pray. We say, amen.